him three times lies. I mean, excuse me, the other way around. He had already told her three times lies, right? So how should she know that the fourth time that he's telling the truth? Maybe he was lying again to her, right? So this is the Gemara, what wants to know, right? Certainly know that Batera Delilah, right? That's Delilah, so he gave law is called the boy, right? That he had revealed to her everything in his heart. So the Gemara says, Benoy Yodoa, how does she know that, you know, he really revealed what was really in his heart? So Omer Rav Chonin, so Rav Chonin says, Omer Rav, in the name of Rav, he says, Nikorin Divrei Emes, says, words of truth can be recognized. In other words, when a person speaks the truth with sincerity, then you realize that it's coming from the heart. And this was the case, he says. Abaye has a different interpretation. Abaye Omari says, Yodo boy, b'yos tzadik, le'mapik shem shemayin v'atolo. Okay? She knew enough about this man that he was a righteous man that he's not going to use the name of God in vain. Kaven the Omar, as soon as he said, Nazir Elihim Ani, right, that I am a Nazarite dedicated to God, Omra, so she said, Hashto Badai Kushto Koma. Now, indeed, he must be telling me the truth. Vayehi ki hiksika lo bidborero kol hayomim vata al tsehu. So, continues again with the story about Delilah nudging, persecuting, making tzoras for Samson, right? It's written that it came to pass that after she had hitzika, hitzika means that she makes him bishugan, okay? Mm-hmm. She oppressed him with her words. In other words, she kept on saying to him, you don't love me, you're a liar, and you don't tell me the truth, and so on and so forth, right? And it's also written vata al tsehu, which means literally, and she put pressure upon him.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, my batal tsehu, in what way did she put pressure upon Samson? So the answer is, I'm a Rabbi Yitzchak, the way Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Yitzchak said, in the school of Rabbi Ami, he says, Bishaz gebar biya nishmeta betachta. Says, at the time when he was reaching a climax, she slipped out from underneath him. So this is how she oppressed him. Right,
exactly.
Right. Okay, now the next pasuk goes back to the mother of Samson. This is what the angel said to her, right? He says, V'ato, and now he says, Hishomrino, right? Be careful. V'yal tishti, do not drink yayin v'sheichor, wine or strong drink, right? V'yal tochli kol tomei, nor should you eat anything which is unclean.
Mm-hmm.
So the Gemara wants to know, what do you mean? My kol tomei, what do we mean by don't eat anything unclean? After all, are we, even ordinary people, are we allowed as Jews to eat something which is tummy?
Yeah.
Not allowed, right? So why does the Pasuk then say it? Right? The Al Tochli Kol Tummy, my Kol Tummy. So he says, the two, and furthermore, Ad Hashtoth, Devorim Tameim Ka Achla. Can we imagine that she was eating until this point when the Malach told her not to eat, that she was eating, she was going to McDonald's or a Burger King or something and, you know, impressing all kinds of people, right? Of course not. How can we imagine that she would do that? Okay. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, the Vei Rav Ami, so the same Rabbi Yitzchak of the school of Rav Ami said, Devorim Ha'asurim Bindozik. In other words, now the angel is telling her, do not eat anything of those things which are prohibited to a Nazarite. As I pointed out before, this is as Rashi says, Devorim, take a look at the third line from the bottom. Okay. Written over there, the Vermasum Nanozi says, Mishras Anovim, as for example, you know, grapes which are soaked in liquid, right? Kigon Nozir Sheshora Anovim Mayim, right? As for example, let's say that a Nozir, you know, steeped grapes in water, the Yeshbahim Tam Yain, and they have the taste of wine, even though, you know, that it's not real wine yet, but nevertheless it has a taste. The Lo Nafka, because, and we would say, you know, this is not a departure from the prohibition which says Mikol Asher Yoseh Migefen HaYayin, anything which will be made literally from wine of the grape vineyard. But in other words, the nozir has to be very careful that even when it comes just to eating grapes, he's not allowed to do that. So even though we would say, let's say that the water is still, you know, it's liquid and it doesn't have any grapes in it, but nevertheless it already has absorbed, so to speak, like the taste of wine, and therefore is prohibited to the nozir. So this is what the angel meant then when he told the wife of Benoach, who is, you know, this mother of Samson, that, you know, don't eat anything which is tummy. In other words, those things prohibited to another, but had nothing to do with, you know, what we would normally think of as tummy, namely, I mean, to go in and to the tarfus,
right,
which obviously she did. Yes?
I'm just thinking that it's not because of the graphic illustration, but I'm interested in the Hebrew word. Nishmata, like Isha made, that means to slip? Or
yeah, right, to slip out. Right.
Slip out.
Right. And this is exactly what she did. She slipped out from under him at the time when he was reaching his climax. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
As Rashi says over there, you take a look at the third line, Mishas Barbia, right, at the time of the climax, he says, Tavas Oda Meruba. At that time, you know, the man's desire is heightened. And then she went and she disappointed him. So that this is what it means, Fatah Tsehu, that she oppressed him by pulling the shtick on him. Okay. Okay. Now another incident mentioned in the story of Samson is the fact that he was in the Midbar Yehuda, the wilderness of Judah, which is a very, very dry place, as I can tell you, I mean, because this is where Mali Adullam is built.
Mm.
And it's all around. I mean, you can see Midbar.
Arid.
Right, very arid, okay. And he was very thirsty. And he was chalashing from thirst. So what happened? So he suddenly saw the jawbone of a donkey, and it was split. Okay, machtesh, which means it was split. So he got enough liquid out of it by sucking upon the liquid inside this jawbone of the donkey that he got his strength back again. And then afterwards he used the jawbone of this donkey in order to kill Philistines with it. Okay, he used it as a weapon against them. Okay. So
it was after he had his hair shorn.
Huh?
This was after his hair was cut off.
No. This is one of the prior events. Oh. You see, they go back and forth in this story. That's why I brought the a Tanakh over here, so that we could check it if we have to. But this was a prior event. Okay. All right. So, question is, I mean, what kind of a monkey business is this? You know, with the jawbone of a donkey, right? It's written, Vayivaka alihim es habachteish Hashem alechi, right? That God split, you know, the cleft which is in the cheek, literally, or the jaw, okay? So Amar Rav Yitzchok, Devei Rabbi Ami, as you can see, he's expounding this story over here. So he says, Hu iva ledover tomei? So lepichot nislu chayim ledover tomei. He says, look, he had such a desire for something which was tomei, namely, I mean, this business of pursuing, you know, Philistine women instead of marrying a nice Jewish girl, right? Even though, as I told you, according to some of the commentators like the Radak and Rashi and so on, that he converted her before he married.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but for Despagan, you know, she still she was a convert, but she was a convert for marriage more than anything else, if you get the drift. So.
Mm-hmm.
So what was he doing fooling around? You know, he was fooling around with a Dorotome, right? So that therefore his own life would depend upon how did he get this liquid, this water that he needed in order to sustain his life out of a Dorotome, which is not, of course, the most dignified way in order to get water. So again, as we see, it's the illustration, the idea of, you know, Midah, Keneged Midah, as we summarize it. In other words, how you act, that's what's going to happen to you. Okay. Now, so far we've said not such very nice things about Shimshon. Okay. But in the final analysis, Shimshon still was a shofet. He was a judge, right? He judged the people of Israel for 20 years. And after all, he performed acts of heroism in his one-man campaign against the Philistines. And he was the one who started the rebellion, so to speak, against the Philistines. But of course, you know, his rebellion unfortunately came to a terrible end, except that he took several thousands of Philistines together with him in his death. But then, you know, the oppression continued until when? Until the days of Saul and David, at which time, you know, the people of Israel were able to wage war successfully against the Philistines and finally break their yoke. But if you remember the days of Samuel prior to Saul and David, the Israelites tried to rebel against the Philistines, and unfortunately it didn't work. They lost the battle, and not only did they lose the battle, but when they took out the ark, so the Philistines captured the ark, and then they paraded it in their various idolatrous temples, you see, as a trophy, until such time that David was able, by conquering the Philistines, you know, to get the ark back, and eventually he brought it to Yerushalayim, a city that was to be designated as the place where God's temple was to be built in the future. Okay. All right. So we have to look at the good also that Samson did. And this is what the next pasuk is. Pasuk says, "Vatochel ruach Hashem." The rest of the pasuk says, "Nafam lo b'bach nidon," which means that the spirit of the Lord began literally lefa'amo, to move him, okay, in the camp of Dan, because Dan was the name of the tribe from which he came, okay. But lefa'amo, it has various connotations. I translated this to move him, which is the way the English translation more or less translates it in the Bible, okay. But it could also mean, you know, to beat within him, okay, or to stir him, or something like that. But as we're going to see, another interpretation that we have for it, okay? All right. Omer Rav Choma, Rav Chanina. So Rav Choma Bar Chanina says, first of all, he says, Cholso nevuaso sheYaakov Avinu. He says, the prophecy that Jacob, our father, had prophesied, this of course happened at the time when he was getting ready to pass away, he was getting ready to die. Remember, he called his sons, and he blessed them, or he told them what the future was to be, right? And what did he say to the tribe of Dan? They see it's written over there, Yehi Dan Nochosh Alei Derech, right? That Dan is to be like a snake upon the road, okay? So, I mean, if you remember, the rest of it is the fact, you know, that he bites the heel of the person, you know, is trying to trample him, okay? So that, in other words, just as the Philistines were trying to trample upon the people of Israel, and the snake, so to speak, bit back, so this was to be the characteristic of the tribe of Dan and the man who came from Sheva Dan in order to rescue the people of Israel. Okay. So this is the meaning of Yehi Dan Nochosh Alei Derech. Okay. Then he continues, and what does it mean when it says the fa'amo b'machanei Dan? What does it mean, you know, that to stir him in the camp of Dan? It says, again, the same Rabbi Yitzchok Tevei Rabbi Yami, who gave several interpretations already of the life of Shimshon. It says, Melamed, it teaches us, shehoyeso shechina mikash keshes nefona, that the divine presence actually was like making a noise, like banging on the drum, so to speak, or ringing a bell, as we'll interpret it in a second, you know, before him. Kizuk, like a bell, as he says. The word zug, which we usually translate as meaning a pair or a couple, but zug also has the implication of a bell, okay? Ksiv, it's written over here, Ksiv Hocha, right? Here the Pasuk says what? Lefa'amo, b'machnei Dan, Ksiv Hosam, and In the Sefer Shmos, what do we find as far as the vestments of the Kohen Gadol is concerned? It's Pa'amon Berimon, right? So Pa'amon, in other words, the word for bell is related to the idea Lefa'amo. You understand? This is what the drash is.
Mm.
So in other words, this is why the Shekhinah is like ringing a bell before him wherever he was to go. Okay, to guide him. Okay? Then the Pasuk says, you know, Vatochu Rach Hashem Lefa'amo Machneidon. The rest of the Pasuk says, Bein Sorah Bein Eshtol. Obviously, these are two different places, right? So what is it, Bein Sorah Bein Eshtol? So Rabasi says, Sorah Bein Eshtol, he says, Shnei Horim Gedolim Hoyu. They were two big mountains, two big hills, Va'akoran Shimshon. And you know what Shimshon did? He uprooted them. Utchonon Zebzeh, and then he ground them one against another. You know, he rubbed them, and so he made it, he ground them up. Okay. Then the pasuk continues, "Vehu yochelo sheis Yisrael." Well, this has, you know, been part of the prophecy given to Shimshon's mother by the angel. He says, "And he will be the one to begin to save the people of Israel." Right? So I'm Rabbi Yochomo, Rabbi Chanino. He takes the word "Vehu yochel," which means, of course, to begin. He says he relates it to another meaning of the root. Says who chal shvuasei shel Avimelech. He says the oath given by Yitzchak to Avimelech became null and void. So we have to understand what is the relationship. First of all, what is the oath? Okay, remember.
We won't fight against them.
Right. We find this, you know, in Pasha Vayera, right? That it's written over there, you know, that the Yitzchak has to escape to Avimelech, right? In order to find, or Abraham, actually, Abraham. We find the two stories. I mean, first Abraham and then Yitzchak. I mean, it's the same thing, right? But specifically, so this is here, the reference is to Abraham.
Abraham, right.
Okay, it's written over there, you know, that Avimelech comes to Abraham, and he makes him swear. He says, "Im tishkoli or nini or nechti," right? You are never to be false unto me. Never, you know, to act in a betraying manner, either to me or to my children or to my grandchildren, and so on and so forth. And then he says, "Kaches l'Hashem asisli modi tasei modi," that just as I have shown you kindness by taking you in over here, so you should also show me kindness, and so on. And then it's written by Yechusu Shnei Bris, right? That they both, namely Abraham and Avimelech, made a covenant. And the covenant was, of course, that you know, they would live peacefully with one another, never harm each other.
Sure,
okay?
Yeah,
and of course, where did they do that, by the way? It was in Beersheba, if you remember.
Mm.
Okay? So that's another reason why it was called Beersheba. First of all, because there were seven wells that were dug by Yitzhak, that's one reason, but the other one is the fact of the Lashon Shvua, you see, that this is where they made an oath, one to another, yeah. Abraham and Avimelech made. All right, so they said, by this time, the time of Shimshon, who betrayed the oath given? The answer is, the Philistines. They betrayed the oath that was given by their king Avimelech a long time ago, because they were the ones who started up with the Jews. As Rashi says on the top line over there, Hu chal shvuaso shel Avimelech, you see that? Mm-hmm. Says, Botla became null and void, what? Lo shel, and he says, this is related to the word Lo yachel devaro. So, Hu yachel, he will begin, and Lo yachel devaro is not to profane from the word chilol, you see, chalel.
Yeah,
it's chilos. Not to profane his chilos, word, right? Chilos. Right.
Achilles comes from that too, don't you? When you say it speaks of Achilles.
No, you're talking of Rechilus.
Rechilus.
No, it's not the same root.
Okay.
Rechilus, you know, Lo Selech Rechil Biyamai, we just went to this Pair Shabbos, so you didn't have to go around as a tailberry, to tell Mises about other people and so on, okay? But this is Lo Yachil de Baro. If a person makes a neder to Hashem, it's the Parsha Matris, okay? So Lo Yachel Bor, he's not allowed to profane his word. In other words, Kol Hayotzei Mipiv Yaseh, whatever comes forth from his mouth, this is what he has to fulfill. He's obligated to fulfill it. Okay. So if it's Lo Yachel, is not to profane. What did the Philistines do? They profaned their word. L'fi Shehem Obru Al Hashvua Techila. They were the first ones to cancel out, right, the oath that they had taken. So that therefore, in this particular case, what do we find? We find that by the time of Shimshon, since the Philistines themselves had betrayed the oath, then therefore,
it was permissible to,
right, who called the borrow from the word Yachil, right, who Yachil Hoshes Yisrael. In other words, Shimshon is no longer bound by that oath, you know, not to harm the Philistines, right? Dichsev, as the Pasuk says, Tishko Lil Nunechti, right, that Abimelech said to Abraham, do not act falsely, do not betray me in any way, you and your conduct.